We've been considering this concept of true discipleship. To that end, I have been quoting in our hearing the words of our Lord to his disciples, to the apostles, when he said to them, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then what the apostle John wrote similar to that, "Now by this we know that we know him," that is, triune God, "if we keep his commandments." And we remember that our Lord said to us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We've been working to give careful consideration to the apostles' teaching regarding the principles of true discipleship. And today, we are going to bring this series to a close by considering the next aspect of the domestic situation, that of children and parents. In contradiction to the perspective of many in our society, this is a secondary relationship to that of marriage. Marriage, the union of one man and one woman in the marital covenant, is the primary relationship among humans, the primary earthly relationship. If you want well-adjusted and mentally healthy children, model this and teach this to them. There's few things that you can do better than that for their benefit. Today's topic, we want to look at least briefly at the Christian distinctiveness of the home, the Christian home, how Jesus' disciples carry out their responsibilities as children, for he has disciples who are children, young children, little children, and for parents in the home. In this relationship, as in all the other matters that we have dealt with in this series, Christ calls you to self-denial. There's no being a child in the home as a follower of Christ without self-denial. There's no being a parent in the home as a follower of Christ without self-denial and obedience to God's revealed will. You may not please yourself in this situation. You must be concerned to please your Lord, who is our head and our Savior. He is the one who leads us and commands us, and he is the one who provides all our need as a Savior. Well, let's pray and ask God's help and blessing today as we consider this subject. Our dear Father in heaven, we bow ourselves before you with delight in the name of your only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come resting in him and his work, resting in his power, resting in his commission from you, resting in the covenant that you have one with another and with the Spirit, the covenant of redemption that is provided for our salvation, that is given to us and made us members of the covenant of grace. We thank you and we bless you that you have given us such mercy, and that mercy has attended our steps and will attend our steps in our life until the end and will carry us into heaven. We thank you and bless you for the great privilege of considering the sealing of the Holy Spirit of God to the day of redemption, the adoption as children of God, the pardon of all iniquity that is ours, that we always come before you with knowledge of your Son having shed His blood in death on our behalf, and your Son making Himself a sin offering for us, that we might be at peace with You, and that all that is good and all that is needed for sinners such as us, You have provided in Him. We say with David of old, You are the portion of our inheritance and our cup. You maintain our lot. The lines have fallen to us in pleasant places. We have a good inheritance because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we ask Your help today. Assure us once again of the forgiveness of sins and a full reconciliation, and strengthen us once again to be obedient to You in all ways. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I've mentioned before, God revealed His will for you in His Word, including His will regarding obedience to parents and being a parent. The godly wisdom that you need for these duties of being an obedient child and being a parent of children, these duties are first learned in knowing the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you would increase in the holiness of these things, you must begin with and increase in knowing God's mercy in the gospel. We had a very good lesson of that in prayer meeting, that we need to remember that the indicatives, the truths, the gospel truths that are ours in Christ are those things that move us in all our obedience and keep us at obedience. And I pray, it's one of my regular prayers for you as a congregation, is that each of you will learn this and take it deep within your soul, that you only find strength in obedience to the Scriptures, in following God's law and taking His imperatives, as you find strength in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, strength in pardon of iniquities and the imputation of His righteousness and full reconciliation with the Lord our God. To this end, the Spirit directed us to consider our Savior in this very context, consider our Savior as head and Savior. You remember what He mentioned back in verse 23 as He began addressing people in the family relationship, that Christ is head of the church and He is Savior of the body, and that ought to color everything. In our meditation, as we come to these things, we saw it also back in earlier in this chapter in verse 2, that He is the one who has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma, so that we find in Him and in His work in our behalf reason to walk as children of God and walk in love. And certainly that comes then to bear in this matter of obedience to parents and parenting children. We need help in these things. We need to remember that He is our place of rest from fear, from sinful fear of both God and man, including one's children or parents. We can be moved out of fear at times. And so there must be this constant self-examination, carefulness, and criticalness about ourselves in light of the gospel, in light of the imperatives, so that we are dealing with our fears in a way that is honoring to God and is in a way that's true and the right way that God has called us to deal with fear. So you train yourself to look to Christ for your ultimate care, not to humans. Your care as a parent is not wrapped up in your children, and your care as a child is not wrapped up ultimately in your parents. It's in Christ, and I pray He teaches you that and helps you with that. And I pray that you will preach this to yourself This is for the good of your soul and the strengthening of your soul. We'll talk about this more as we go. So today, some pastoral counsel for children and parents to obey Christ's specific command to you in these matters. We take it up in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So first of all, and I'll start here as I did with our previous sermons on the family, labor in the parent-child relationship is labor as unto our Savior. It must be looked at that way. We must discipline our minds this way, that as we labor in this particular relationship, if you're a child laboring to obey your parents, if you're a parent laboring to train up and raise your children properly, as you live out the role that Christ has assigned you, you are thinking about it this way, that this is labor as unto Him. Primarily, first of all, we see this in a couple of phrases in the section I just read. In verse 6, in chapter 6, verse 1, in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's in this context of the Lord's saving grace to you. And so we see that He really is addressing children in the congregation of the saints gathered for worship. We see this also for parents in verse 4 when He especially addressed the fathers. And He mentions there to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's as unto Him, and it's bringing the gospel and the law into proper place in the family. This is to walk with wisdom. This is to understand the will of the Lord for you if you are in this situation. This is to understand how to walk, instead of foolishly, walk in wisdom and obedience to God's revealed will. The apostle gave us the gospel as the context and the motive for obedience to one's parents, for children, and for parenting. Your inclination, whether as a child or a parent, is to start your thinking about your duty based on the person in front of you. If you are a child, you tend to approach this based upon the person in front of you, which is your parent, mother or father, or both. And your tendency is, if you're a parent, is to start thinking about this with the person in front of you, your child, your children. But that may be your inclination. But you must teach yourself, instead of thinking about your duty this way, you must think about your duty as unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the great lover of your soul. And the apostle would have you think about Him this way. Therefore, you must read these verses that we just read, verses 1 through 4, in light of the gracious work of God revealed in the previous chapters. In other words, you start your thinking about your parent, if you're a child, or you start your thinking about your child, if you're a parent, with God's grace to you in Christ in mind. You start with thinking about what He says in Ephesians 1:3, and I wish every one of you would memorize this. Every child, memorize this. Get this in your thinking, so that it's ready and handy when you're in a situation where, as a child, you're thinking about obedience to your parents. As a parent, you're thinking about training your child You start working in your own mind with this concept. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What a statement that is. I run that statement through my mind regularly, because I need to remind myself when I pray our Father in heaven who my Father is. And I want to be active in my thinking about who the Father is and why I can address the Lord God of heaven and earth as my Father. And I would encourage you, if you're just a little child and you're a believer in Christ and you have parents to whom you must give obedience, you must obey them, think about God this way. Memorize this verse. And remember that you are going to this work as unto Christ. And remember, He has nothing, nothing but good intentions for you in this. We remember what He says in verse 7 of chapter 1. In him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You see, if you have these concepts of the Father and of the Son, and as we read in our unison reading, of the Spirit who has sealed us unto the day of redemption, if you run these concepts through your mind as you're struggling with the difficulty that comes in the parent-child relationship, because difficulty does come, then you're training yourself to think like a Christian and like a disciple. And you're giving yourself those things that you need. Children, you need hope. I remember what it was like at sometimes as a child and losing hope. I'll never, never be able to obey like I should. I'll never be able to please my parents. Children, you need hope. Well, hope is not ultimately found in you or your parents. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be Christ, who has given us the forgiveness of sins. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, who has sealed you into the day of redemption. These things, you cannot change them, and no one can take them from you. And they will help you have hope as you go to this thing of obedience to your parents. And parents, you need to repeat these same things to you, to yourself, and your own thinking, so you will persevere. Being a parent is hard work. Children, I know you think being a child is hard, and I understand that it has levels of great difficulty. I have been through both. And being a parent is much harder than being a child. I know. You look at your parents and think, oh man, I hope I grow up someday and have it all together like my mom and dad. Your mom and dad are working hard to get it all together and be what they should be. So that's a good reason to pray for them. But parents, where will you find the strength to persevere and stay at this hard work of the distinctive Christian training of children? By running through your mind who God is and how gracious He has been to you and what is really ultimate in life. Parenting is not the ultimate in life. I know when you're parenting and you have a bunch of children, you feel like it's all there is. But someday this job will be done, and you will be with Christ. So find strength from Him now for this work. He's a faithful head and Savior to all of us. Prayerfully bring in the gospel. Make your parenting, make your obedience to parents as children, make the gospel your context and your motive to do your duty with discipline and with compassion. May God give you grace to think about this. So we start there. Labor in the parent-child relationship is labor as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about it that way. Secondly, and let me address now in this second point, primarily children. Children, obey your parents, not because they are perfect, but because Christ, our head and Savior, made them your parents. You have the parents you have because He sovereignly gave you the parents you have. That's one of the most helpful things you can ever learn. I can't tease that all out right now, but I assure you, if you will take that and you will think about it and you will settle it in your mind and you'll think about it for years and years and years, somewhere down the road, there's going to be many things that click in your brain that help you in being a good human being. If you'll remember that Jesus Christ is the one who gave you your parents. He exercised His sovereign rule over you in every detail of your life. The nation you were born in, the family you were born into, the very genetics of your body, the time in which you were born. All of these things are in Christ's hands. And so children, you think about that. You remember the head and Savior is also the sovereign ruler over every detail of your life. So He says to you, as we read here in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, let's take that last phrase first. He's speaking there of this matter of what is natural in the proper sense of that word. There's a natural and a spiritual reason to obey them as their child. Obey your parents as their child. Although it's contrary to your sinfulness, your obedience to your parents is natural in the sense of being in triune God's general and ordained plan for the humanity He created. Now, I know that's a lot to take in. Parents, you're going to have to help your children with this. You have a Creator, and this is what He has ordained for humanity, for human beings, that children obey their parents. Your obedience to your parents is of natural law. Now, children, real quick, that's a philosophical category in the study of ethics. You'll understand that more as you grow older, but it's part of natural law that children obey their parents. It is for all humans, and it is the foundation of all authority. Children, you're going to learn about all authority by learning to obey the parents that God has given you. You're not going to understand that right now while you're young. You'll come to understand it better as you grow. He says, for this is right. Now that ought to be of great comfort to you. There's something within you, in spite of your sinfulness as a human being, that wants something of that which is right. Well, here you have it very plainly stated. This is right. Now, I must add to this idea of natural law, for those in Christ, obedience is also a matter of revelation. God has revealed how this thing of natural law works out. God has spoken through His prophets, clearly revealing and interpreting His good and wise will for you. What is His good and wise will for you? Honor your father and mother. It's plainly stated there in verse 2. That's based on the revelation of God. Honor your father and mother. So, this is right. This is in the Lord. It's of natural law. It's of revelation. It's very plain. It's very clear. But notice what he goes on to say, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Children, In these words, the apostle took a specific promise from the Old Testament to children who were born in the nation of Israel, and he made that specific Old Testament promise into a promise and general rule for Christians worldwide. His command for you to obey your parents is for your well-being. I understand that there are times when you will not think it's for your well-being. We had a saying when I was young, you apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. It doesn't feel like it's well at that moment. And if that doesn't make sense to you, children, you ask your parents, they'll explain it to you. It is for your well-being. This is a general rule, a general promise. It's for your well-being and longevity. Certainly there are exceptions, but this is generally true. The moral behavior that you learn from obedience to your parents is better than the chaos of your sinfulness. Your sinfulness will take you into all sorts of terrible, foul, hurtful things. Sin presents itself as pleasurable, but it leads to the gates of hell. And along the way, it takes you through all kinds of terrible things. This is the promise. That obedience to your parents, that moral behavior they will teach you, is better than your sin. So, there's both natural and spiritual law that calls you to obey your parents as a young child. As you grow and mature, you need to learn more about God's natural law and God's revealed law. You'll need to meditate on these things so that you learn more about what God has commanded and what God is doing with you. And you'll get the right interpretation of His will through attending corporate worship and attending the preaching of the Word of Christ. And so I encourage you to that. Obedience is God's will for you. Corporate worship and the preaching of the Word of Christ is God's gift to you, children. I encourage you to develop that attitude. Develop that sort of thinking. You'll have to work at it. It won't come natural. You'll have to say to yourself as you walk in through those doors back there, this is God's gift to me. And if you'll cultivate that, it'll be for your good. This was the practice of the early disciples, both Jew and Gentile, in the early churches. And they memorized the Ten Commandments, and they memorized the Great Commandments, and they memorized the Lord's Prayer, and they memorized these key things from the Scriptures that give us ethics and morality. And they primarily had the Old Testament, but they heard it interpreted by their pastors and the preaching of the Word, as the pastors learned from the apostles. So make that practice your practice, to memorize the Ten Commandments and memorize the Great Commandments. Memorize the Lord's Prayer. And look at the corporate worship as God's gift. Disciples who were still of early age listened to that preaching with their parents. That's a good thing to do. Rejoicing in the gospel of God's grace in Christ. Increasing in this as their understanding grew. Do the same thing. Children, come with your parents, with your minds engaged, to hear of the gospel of Christ and the good will of God for you. And let me just say this to children who have not yet come to rest your soul's salvation on Christ and His finished work. To you children who have not yet submitted to Christ, obedience to your parents and attendance to worship is also profitable for your well-being, but only in this life. I say this with compassion. If you do not turn to Christ, all that you have learned from your parents and all that you have heard preached in the gathering of God's people will only serve to increase your condemnation in the next life. You will not get into God's heaven without coming to Christ Jesus and trusting Him as head and Savior. And if you want to talk with one of your pastors about this, either one of us would love to do it. We would count it a privilege. So I encourage you, think seriously and carefully about these things. Well, there's much more that I could say. I have mentioned already that this parent-child relationship is a labor in which each of you, child and parent, goes to this labor as unto Jesus Christ. Secondly, children, obey your parents, not because they are perfect, but because Christ, the head, our head and Savior, made them your parents and commands you to obey them. And let me just say then, thirdly, in this message, this third point in the message, parents, teach your children to think, speak, and behave in a distinctively Christian way. This whole, all four of these verses give you instruction in this matter. You have got to teach these concepts that are held in all four of these verses to your parent, to your children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We had our children memorize that when they were little, when they were first learning to talk. We wanted them to think about these things, to have these truths ready to think about. As much I didn't understand as a young father, God was very kind to overcome much of my ignorance and help me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Parents, teach your children these things. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Teach your children. That's your responsibility. So first of all, in this point, I'm going to make several points here under this heading of parents teaching their children to think and speak and behave in a distinctively Christian way. First of all, I say parents, because the commandment gives equal authority and honor and responsibility to the mother as to the father. This is part of a distinctive Christian way of looking at this. God's commandment in the Old Testament to His people Israel changed. People who received that commandment changed their perspective about women and children. It taught them that women and children are not a man's possession to do with as he pleased. It taught them that women and children, just like men, are God's possession. God exercises authority over them so that a man may not dominate and dispose of them at his will, because that's how the world behaved. Men were stronger physically. They banded together and they subdued. That's the world's way of doing things. It's not changed, by the way. Even the patriarchy of ancient Israel was an immature condition, and it is not a standard for God's people today. It was a shadow that's been put away. So God's commandment to His people Israel changed how God's people looked at women and children. But we must take it a step further, because the gospel believed by Christ's churches further changed God's people's perspective about women and children. How so? Well, every believer is taught that we all have full equal position before God. In Christ, we all stand as God's children. Every believer has a fully equal position before God triune, although God triune does assign different roles. So under Christ, you take the role He's assigned you and you go at life diligently in your role. But each is to be prized. Every man and woman and child in Christ is to be prized and respected as a joint heir with Christ. So among us, in our families and in our church, as the people of Christ, as true disciples, there is a real working out of the great commandments. Especially, I would say, in this light, the second great commandment. One of the most helpful things I got in my mind as a young father was love my children as I love myself. Now, I'm not saying that's easy to work that out. It takes a lot of thought. It takes a lot of work. That's what parents are called to. To work that second great commandment, just as they're working on the first great commandment all the time. And they work it in their parenting. And children, you work it in your obedience. So first of all, I say parents because the commandment gives equal authority, honor, and responsibility to the mother as to the father. Secondly, and I take this cue from verse 4, and you fathers, okay, the first thing in the direct instruction to parents, he addresses the fathers. The apostle addressed first your specific weakness in this realm of child training. What's the man's weakness in the realm of child training? Well, fathers tend to provoke their children to wrath. There's a myriad of ways we do that. Your tendency is to train your children in a way that angers them and exasperates them. And when Paul directed his words to the church at Ephesus, this is the first thing he says to fathers. Evidently, Paul observed some things. When you turn to the book of Colossians, we see this repeated. He uses a different word. In verse 20 and 21, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now that ought to encourage children in obedience. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Here's a problem that men have. They tend to provoke their children to wrath. They tend to exasperate their children. If you anger and exasperate your children, you are employing a Gentile, pagan, unbelieving approach to parenting. Now, I'm not talking about the anger that a little child has when you're training them and teaching them. You're just going to have to learn to deal with that and help them work through that. But if you will deal with that and help them work through that, it will not become a settled thing in them. What I'm talking about is that settled thing that comes, that's usually seen in older children and young adults, which they're provoked to anger and they're exasperated and they're discouraged. I do believe that if you'll exercise the proper self-denial over yourself, you'll study the commandments of God, and you'll study the fruit of the Spirit. You'll study the unison reading we had today, how we speak to each other in the home ought to be learned from those instructions that we read in the unison reading that were given to church members and how they speak to each other. You'll give attention to these things. You will bring into control your own weaknesses that you bring into parenting, fathers. If you are a father and a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you must take steps to contradict this in yourself. You will need help in doing this. I did. You'll need help from the Spirit and the Word. You'll need help from mature fathers. And you'll need help from your wife. Man's a fool who doesn't learn from others how to parent his children. I had a great benefit when I went into parenting. I knew I had no idea what I was doing. And I gave myself to study the Scriptures and study fathers who were doing it and listening to my wife and talking with my wife. I guess we talked by the hours and hours and hours sorting through this matter of how to be the right kind of father and the right kind of mother of children. To be distinctively Christian. And yes, we got some of it wrong. You will need to continually work to replace your sinful pagan parenting style that's been gleaned from the world, that's been gleaned from your own fleshly intuition. You will have to develop a critical thinking of yourself, and you will have to expose yourself the things you don't agree with, to learn how to be a distinctively Christian father and to parent your children wisely. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm through this, my children are grown, can I say, ask you something? Will you pray for those in our church who are still raising children? This is hard work. And they need your prayers. Pray for those parents in our church who are still raising children. Maybe you're a father and you're thinking, Pastor, I messed this up. I provoked my children to wrath. I exasperated my children the way I trained them. Then use that, men. Use that to pray for the fathers in our church, men who still have little children in the home they're still working with and raising. This is hard work. We need to pray for each other in these matters. Learn from law and gospel, fathers, to parent as a Christian, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, with self-denial, following Him. You're going to have to give close attention to Christ and how Christ worked even with the apostles and how He continues to work with us. He is gentle and lowly in His working with us. The second great commandment I mentioned already, love your neighbors yourself, and the fruit of the Spirit will give you wisdom in parenting when you prayerfully, humbly, and diligently seek it. Heeding the word you hear preached, so you will stay on task, using the gospel truths to encourage yourself and the imperatives of the Word of God to keep you directed in this matter. So we look at this. We're addressing mothers and fathers, parents of children, how to be distinctively Christian in their teaching and training of their children to think and speak and behave as Christians. Let me give you a few points I think and I hope will be more practical. Parents, use the wisdom given in both the Old Testament and New Testament revelation for training your children. You'll have to be wise and use discernment in this. You'll have to be very careful. Your pastors are welcome to are willing to talk to you about these matters if you need help with them. But familiarize yourself with the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer and the basic gospel, and use catechisms and family worship to teach these and give your children their right interpretation so that they can make use of these things. Learn to evangelize your children. Listen very carefully what I'm going to say. All you can do is make your children into Pharisees and moralists or libertines. That's all you can do as a human. And how you parent will work out that way. What do you need? You need to evangelize them. Give them the gospel. And pray the Spirit of God will show mercy. There is nothing like being a parent to make you realize how vulnerable and weak you are as a human being. Because you love your children and you want the best for them. You have nothing but good intentions for them. Children, that's right about parents. They have nothing but good intentions for you even while they're wrestling with sin. And they really cannot do what needs to be done. And that is for the Spirit of God to come and save. So I say to parents, this is one of the areas I think I was really weak in. I did not evangelize my children enough, young enough. Now God's been merciful anyway. But learn to evangelize your children. You will do that through using the catechisms. You'll do that in family worship. Use our hymnal. Our hymnal is tremendous in helping with that. Make it your family's practice then to attend every stated church meeting. It's one of those things that surprises me. Parents that want their children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but don't bring them to all the stated meetings of the church. I encourage you, make that and something that is you do not violate. I did that as a young man working, laboring in a job, wife and children. We gave up pleasure to make sure we were always in the proper stated meetings of the church. Prayer meeting, worship, Bible study. I wanted my children in the way of the gospel every time I could get them there. In the way of the teaching and instruction of the Lord. So familiarize yourself with the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, the Lord's Prayer, the basic gospel, and use family worship and catechism to teach these. Secondly, for young children, this is going to be alliterated. I hope it'll help you. For young children, use consistent, controlled, compassionate chastening to civilize your children. Your children do not come to you civilized. They really do come to you as pagans and as savages. Children, I'm not trying to insult you. That's the way children come. Consistent, controlled, compassionate chastening is essential if you're going to raise children in a distinctively Christian way. Why? Well, look with me in Proverbs. We'll take just a quick stroll through Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Parents, take that deeply into your thinking. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Young children are foolish. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. This is the Creator's ordained method for driving foolishness out of children's souls and minds and thinking. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about careful use of chastening. Notice what he says in Proverbs 13 and verse 24. We get this sorted out in our thinking because you live in a world that's teaching you a completely different lesson than this. The world you live in teaches you that children are born basically good. That is not true. The world teaches you that the basic problem with your children is everything out there. No, it's what's in their soul that's the problem with them. And so we need to think clearly about this. What does he say? Chapter 13 of Proverbs, verse 24. He who spares his rod... Ooh, now this does not sit well with us. He who spares the rod hates his son. What a rebuke that is to us as men and as parents. But using the rod properly is difficult. It's hard to do. But that's what our God, our Creator, calls us to. He who loves Him disciplines Him promptly. What does that mean? Disciplines either early or in a very timely fashion. There's probably both ideas carried in here. I think the rod is used best when they're little. I call it getting their attention. And once you get their attention, well, then you can work. Meditate on this. Look in Proverbs chapter 23. These are important things. We must carefully and prayerfully use these things. Do not withhold correction from a child. That's kind of like the goal of parenting, is to constantly bring correction to a child. As they get older, that lessens. Do not withhold correction from a child. That's a direct imperative. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. And the idea of the word that's there in the Hebrew is sheol, and the idea is it delivers a child from the consequences of their sinfulness, which will lead them to all sorts of terrible things, including judgment. It's not a promise that you, as a parent, can save your child eternally. Don't take it that way. Chapter 29, just two more verses. Verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. That's contrary to human intuition and human wisdom. It's contrary to everything you're being taught in the world today. But here's God's word, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. What's rebuke? That's how correction is done. Rod and rebuke, they work together for correction of the child. Correction is removing foolishness. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Verse 17, correct your son. He will give you rest. This is fascinating to me. You know what men want in a home? And really, everybody in the home wants this. They want harmony and peace. They want home to be a safe place for everybody. This is the way to achieve that. Correct your son. He will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. For young children, use consistent, controlled, compassionate chastening. I'll be glad to talk with you about that further if you need further help with that. So, you use the Scriptures, Ten Commandments, Beatitudes, Lord's Prayer, etc., in catechism, in family worship to train your children too. You use this consistent, controlled, compassionate chastening so you can civilize your children. Why do you want to civilize them? So you can have them in family worship, sitting and listening, right, clothed in their right mind. You understand that, what I mean by that. So you can have them sitting in church, listening, paying attention, taking in the gospel. If you've done this when they're young, they will have learned to listen to you and respect you. You should be able to achieve that by the time a child is somewhere 4 to 8 years old. I'm not I'm not trying to be adamant about and dogmatic, but roughly 4 to 8 years old, a child is, you've probably got their attention if you're doing what the Proverbs teach you. And they're listening to you and they respect you and they know you love them if you've done this as a Christian father and mother. And once they've learned that obedience, once they've learned rote obedience, then you can begin to reason with them according to the law and gospel. Don't try to reason with a child. You haven't got their attention yet. You're going to frustrate them and you both. But once you've got their attention, and they're listening to you, and they're paying attention to you, and they've learned obedience, then you can begin to reason with them in law and gospel, and begin giving them more and more and more responsibility. That's your great handmaiden as a parent. Responsibility and duty. You give your children responsibility and duty and they will begin to grow. Then next, your goal is to see them develop self-control and to become productive adults. In other words, here's our favorite way of putting it, you want to work yourself out of a job. That's your goal of a parent, as a parent, is to work yourself out of a job. You don't want to remain a parent. So you increasingly put them in circumstances to develop self-control and develop productiveness. You certainly want to begin heavy adult responsibilities by the time a child is 12 to 14 years old. So they're developing as an adult. And they're in your care still. You want them to fail and suffer need and discouragement and difficulty while you still have them in your care. So, you want them to develop self-control. That's kind of a, you know, you can almost chart it. When they're first born, they have no self-control and you have all control. But you want to work yourself out of that. And you want them to become a self-controlled human being. Christian parents do these differently and at different rates from family to family within the bounds of God's law and the gospel. But we all have this goal of producing self-controlled, independent adults. That was my wife and I, when we work with our 5 children, that was our concerted, determined, talked about, and developed goal. We got that from the Scriptures. We're not going to be uniform, family to family, parenting to parenting. We're not to conform to just a uniform code imposed on us. That's not the desire of your elders. But you want to have that goal in mind, a self-controlled, independent adult. You want to work yourself out of a job. Let me mention a couple more things, and then we'll try to wrap this up. With the counsel of your wife, fathers, and other qualified people, you are responsible for your children's entire early education. Fathers, you are responsible for the entire early education of your children until you, with their input, launch them into independency. That's what you want to do. You want to launch your children into independency. So they don't need you any longer. Probably sometime 17 to 20 years old. That's going to change from child to child and family to family. I'm not trying to be dogmatic on that. But that's a worthwhile thing to aim at and target to shoot for. You may hire others to do this educating, but you're responsible for it. You may use government schools or private schools, but you're responsible. You may school your children at home, but you're responsible. And we're all going to have a variety of ways we approach this. Your way is not necessarily the best, but you're responsible. You're responsible to provide for their instruction so that as much as lies within you, they learn to care for themselves, they learn to be productive, and if God is gracious, they learn to become disciples and take the doctrine that you love, take the doctrine that you love as their own. Now, that's not always going to happen. That's in God's purview, not yours. But that's your goal. Don't be ashamed of that goal. Don't back off of that goal. Lastly, parents, last practical piece of advice here. Do all of this bathed in prayer for their salvation. Do all of this bathed in prayer for their salvation. It is God who will be gracious to them or not. That is not in your purview. You're praying that God will be gracious to them in spite of your failings and your sins. You are praying for their salvation, for God to be gracious to them, hoping that they will believe in Christ. They need to know you pray for them in that way. They need to hear you pray for them in that way. And you are praying that they will take your doctrine as their own, the law and the gospel. Beware presumptuousness. God alone elects. God alone sends His Spirit to regenerate. God alone raises the dead to life. You do not. And do not, parents, this is going to be a harder pill in some ways maybe for you, but you're going to have to think about this carefully. Do not love your children more than you love God triune. And do not love your children more than you love Christ's church. And do not love your children more than you love your spouse. Or they're going to be very mixed up about life. Men, especially, your love is going to be a great teacher to them. But they need to know where they fit in the proper pecking order. Hope you'll think about that. As much as is within your power, teach them and attract them to be faithful church members of a confessional Reformed Baptist church. And I say that without apology. I wish every child in this room would come to faith in Christ and become a faithful church member of a confessional Reformed Baptist church. That would be for your well-being. Well, let me close. I've kept you a while today. This is my final application. Saturate your thinking as much as you are able with the law and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Saturate your thinking as much as you are able with the law and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children, little children, hold closely to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is good in all He does and in all His commandments. He is good as His head over you. Having pardoned you, He will not mistreat you. Parents, hold closely to your Savior, the Lord Jesus. He is good, and He will deliver you from the chaos of lawlessness and the rigor of the law that there is without the gospel, if you'll walk in obedience to Him. God, give us grace in these things.